recorded.
Thanks so much, I can stop, and thank you all participants and observers for the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability Workstream 2 Human Rights Subgroup. This is meeting 13 on December 2, 1900 UTC, where will we be going through a full agenda, mostly consisting of a second reading of the work that has been prepared by the drafting team and has been improved according to the discussions that we had last week. But let's first start off with the administrivia. Could anyone who is on the audio bridge and is not in the Adobe room make themselves known so that the staff can take a roll call from the Adobe room or the archives? Thank you very much. And I have had no absentees. Does anyone have an update to their statement of interest that they would like to notify us about? No? Then I can continue to the to relatively sad notice that genuinely sad notice that reached me this week that that I shared with you on the list, that Nigel Roberts unfortunately could not make the time commitment anymore to function as co-rapporteur of this subgroup. I would like to really thank Nigel for all his work that he's done for the subgroup. And it's sad, but I think we can try to continue with joint efforts, make it to the to our finish line. And our next milestone, which is not yet the finish line, is only 10 working weeks ahead of us, and that is the ICANN meeting in Copenhagen, and we should have, according to our planning, shared something with the Cross-Community Working Group to discuss, and perhaps you could even already help us start a public consultation on that text. So the earlier we get text to the CCWG, the more chances we have to all finish the milestones. So that would be great. So those were the administrivia from my end. If anyone has to add to the administrivia or would like to add, change, or suggest something for the agenda that would not be able to address under any other business.
Niels, this is Leon. Just to note that I'm on the phone bridge. I am not in the Adobe Connect room, but I am available on audio. Thanks.
Thanks, Leon. Great to hear that we're that you're also here. Good to have that support as well. Great. So I think that leaves us for the administrivia. Any other administrivia? Oh yeah, I see that we are indeed meeting on Friday, 1900 UTC. This is not a new practice. This is only for once because we could not get our normal Tuesday 1900 UTC slot. After this, I hope everything will go back to normal and we'll be back in our normal rhythm. So let's continue to the real meat of the work, and please allow me to ask you that if you're not speaking, that you please mute your phone. So let's continue with analysis and discussion on the progress of a drafting team working on the proposal for the framework of interpretation. We have completely finished our first reading last week of all parts. We've done the second reading of the first part. So that leaves B up to G up to discussion for us for the second part for the framework of interpretation. That is our work for today. ICANN staff, would you be so kind to pull up either the PDF or the DocX of the document? And for the people who would like to follow me making notes, I can also invite you to the Google Doc that is, I just pasted the link for in the chat. So now let's all go to B within the scope of other core values. We had done a second reading of this, But there were some there was a disagreement on some text, and the drafting team has worked on that. So I would like to ask the drafting team to take us through this and hope to achieve consensus on the second reading of this part. Who of the drafting team can I invite to take us through this? Tatiana, you've been voluntold by Greg.
Hello, Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. I think that it is not very nice of Greg, because it was Greg and Jorge who drove us to compromise. So as far as I understand, we are starting again with the core values, right?
Exactly.
Because that's where we had problems. I'm going to read aloud the ICANN bylaw language and then the proposed commentary. And I want to thank again Greg and Jorge for changing the text and finding the solution which will be good for everyone in the drafting team. Let's see whether it will be good for the group as well. So the ICANN bylaw language we are commenting on is within the scope of other core values. The proposed commentary text framework of interpretation text. It is important to stress that the human rights by law is a core value and not a commitment. Quotation, the commitments reflect ICANN's fundamental compact with the global internet community and are intended to apply consistently and comprehensively to ICANN's activities. Bylaw section 1.2c. In contrast, core values are not necessarily intended to apply consistently and comprehensively to ICANN's activities. Rather, the core values are subject to the following interpretive rules in the bylaws. The quote from the bylaw. The specific way in which core values are applied individually and collectively to any given situation may depend on many factors that cannot be fully anticipated or enumerated. Situations may arise in which perfect fidelity to all core values simultaneously is not possible. Accordingly, in any situation where one core value must be balanced with another potentially competing core value, the result of the balancing must serve a policy developed through the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process or otherwise has best serve ICANN's mission. This was a quotation from bylaws section 1.2c. I will continue with the text suggested by us. The human rights by law needs to be balanced against other core values in the case where not all core values can be fully adhered to simultaneously. Furthermore, this interpretive rule recognizes that there must be flexibility in applying the core values based on quotation many factors that occur in any given situation. This is also made clear in the core values section of the bylaw, which states that the core values are intended to guide ICANN in its decisions and actions. The bylaws also prominently stress that the core values have to respect quotation ICANN will act in a manner that complies with and reflects ICANN's commitments and respects ICANN's core values as stipulated in the bylaws section 1.2. Finally, there are no standing hierarchy in the treatment of the different core values. They are guiding elements that need as appropriate to be taken into account. The balance must be determined on a case-by-case basis, on the basis of proportionality, without automatically favoring any particular core value. The result of the balancing test must not cause ICANN to violate any commitment, as commitments are binding. The other core values are set forth in Annex 2 of this document. So the sentence which caused some troubles is in the paragraph which starts with, finally, there are no standing hierarchy in the treatment of the different core values. So this is the sentence which was rephrased by us. Thanks a lot. I will finish here. Thanks.
Thanks so much for that presentation of this part B of the bylaw. I think what people will see, there is one mistake I made. I left one opening bracket before finally. That's a mistake from my side, so please blame that on me, and sorry for the unclarity there. So the biggest change that was made here was exactly that sentence where there's the open bracket. So finally, there is no standing hierarchy in the treatment of the different core values. They are guiding elements that need, as appropriate, to be taken into account. So that was a compromise that was found in the drafting team, and I would like to invite comments to that. I see Cavus' hand is up. Cavus, please come in. Cavus?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now, Cavus. Please come in.
Yes, I said that, thank you, and thanks, Tatiana. I don't think that we need to read a text for 5 minutes. Just show it on the screen, we can see that. This is number one. Number two, I see some edits, which is almost, in my view, ridiculous, saying that other parties against other parties. So I put some small amendments, which makes it more clear. One party against other party, or one party against other parties. So that is mostly all. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. So for me, your audio quality is not so good. And secondly, I think you might be commenting in another part of the text. Currently, we're discussing the part that comments on within the scope of other core values. So I see David McCauley's hand is up. David, please come in.
Thank you, Niels. It's David McCauley for the transcript. I apologize if I missed something, but I'm not exactly certain I understand what the compromise was. And so I'd ask a member of the drafting team if you could just explain briefly what the competing statements were and what the compromise is. I just think I missed that. Thank you.
No problem, David. I see Tatiana and Greg's hand are up, so I'll leave it to them to explain. Tatiana, please come in.
Oh, thanks, Tatiana Tropina is speaking for the record. I will start and maybe Greg can continue. I remember that in the beginning we had the proposed text that there is no legal hierarchy in the treatment of the different core values. And we thought that, Greg and I thought that that might be misleading because there is no predetermined or standing hierarchy. And Jorge was insisting that inserting the word legal and referring to legal hierarchy would follow the principle of legal certainty. So this was the disagreement, and I will let Greg to follow on the compromise itself. Thanks.
Thanks. It's Greg, and I think that basically we were looking for what we felt was a way to characterize hierarchy, so it would be a little more explanatory, but to get the concept clear. And avoid potential for misinterpretation. And after trying out a number of alternatives, some of which were several words, and other the word standing seemed to best capture the fact that there is no standing hierarchy seemed to be best captured in that phrasing. So that's what we have. There were any number of interim things batted around, but this seems to be the best, and one that within the drafting team we all agreed on.
Indeed. Thank you very much for explaining that, Greg. David, I hope it is more clear for you now. Is that the case?
Yes, it is. Thank you, Niels.
Excellent. So my internet connection is lagging a bit, so I do not see if there are other hands are up. If not, and I don't think they are, then we can continue to the next part, which is about respecting. So who of the drafting team can I invite to do the second reading of respecting? Please come in. Can I invite someone from the drafting team? Greg?
Sure, this is Greg. I'm happy to move to the next. Just remind me which one. Sorry, I was in the chat.
So it's respecting. So it is the third one.
I get the short one, after giving Tatiana the long one. Respecting is interpreted, the interpretation reads, ICANN will respect human rights as required by applicable law. See below on applicable law. In order to do so, ICANN should avoid violating human rights and take human rights into account in developing its policies as well as in its decision-making processes.
Thank you very much for reading that out, Greg. Are there any comments to this text? Are there any hands up? I'm sorry, I cannot see because I'm not in the Adobe room anymore.
Niels, the Council Pina is speaking. I see Kavu's hands is up.
Okay, Kavu, please come in.
It's down now, sorry.
Okay, so if no hands are up, that means there's no issues with these texts, and I think, so last time we also didn't have issues with that, so we can continue. So because this was a short one, I'd like to compensate Greg and give him also a bit longer reading time. So Greg, could you also read out the next one?
Happy to do so. The bylaws text is internationally recognized human rights. The interpretation is there are a range of international, I think international probably should be lowercase, there are a range of international human rights declarations and covenants that could be relevant to ICANN's human rights core value. However, none of these instruments has a direct application to ICANN, because they only create obligation for states. By committing to one or more of these international instruments, nation states are expected to embed human rights in their national legislation. The reference to, quote, internationally recognized human rights, quote, in the bylaw should not be read in isolation. Rather, it must be considered together with and limited by the reference, quote, as required by applicable law, unquote. As a consequence, under the human rights core value, international human rights instruments are not directly applicable to ICANN beyond what is provided for in applicable law. Rather, only those human rights that are required by applicable law will be relevant to ICANN.
Thank you very much for reading that out, Greg. I am back in the Adobe room, and I do not see any hands. So that means no comments. No comments once. No comments twice.
I had a comment. Yes, just real quickly, Greg, this may be because I'm not a lawyer. When you say that they're not applicable, what you really mean is they're not applicable in a legal sense, right? Because, I mean, I wonder if there's another way we could say that that didn't sound, the office kind of doesn't sound right to me as a non-lawyer. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, they're not applicable in any sense, not just in a legal sense, not directly applicable to ICANN. We're
right,
talking about the international
are,
human rights instrument.
We're mentioning them because they are some guideposts to push off of, right? And what we're saying is they're not something that we're going to use in terms of a kind of enforcement mechanism, but they are. I guess it's just the term applicable that seems a little bit. It seems a little harsher than for a non-lawyer, for a layman, it sounds like. A little harsher than maybe we want, but I don't know.
I think that is, to my understanding, the sense in which we mean to use it is fairly, and harsh may be the wrong word, but definitive might be the right word. The point of this, and maybe this goes more to how the term applicable law is used, is that applicable law provides a limiting factor in the bylaws. And the other point here is that because international human rights instruments are not applicable to ICANN, because they're applicable to states, and what is applicable to ICANN is applicable law. And applicable law may, as states introduce national legislation, reflect human rights instruments, but without or being reflected in applicable law would not be directly applicable to ICANN. And you'll see in the last sentence, it's restated perhaps slightly differently, that only those human rights that are required by applicable law will be relevant to ICANN.
Okay, I understand what you're trying to get at. I was trying to figure out if there's another way to do it, but maybe not. Thanks for the explanation.
And I think we should also really understand that we're here forming the framework of interpretation of the bylaw. That does not mean that ICANN may make policies that can have a stronger commitment to human rights, but it is a really clear and, in that sense, quite legal explanation of the responsibilities and the applicabilities. So. I think I understand what you're saying, but I also think we should stay relatively legalistic here because we're really talking about the legal bylaw and the core values and how that should be interpreted. So if there are no other comments to this part, I'd like to continue to the following part. I see there are no hands up. So,
yes,
Tatiana, would
hello,
you?
I think Caboose has his hand up.
Hello.
Oh,
yes,
sorry. It's my slow internet connection. Please, Caboose, please come in.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't know which part you are speaking. This is talking of applicable law. I have no problem, but this applicable law shall not interfere with the national legislation of any country. Is it clearly mentioned? Number one. Number two, still I have difficulty other parties against other parties. This is not a proper...
Suppose we haven't arrived at that part of the text yet.
Yeah, okay. But international law or applicable law should not interfere with the national legislation of any country. Is it clear in the text? Thank you.
We have a definition of applicable law that's in the next section, or rather I should say a discussion of applicable law that is in the next section. I realize that there's actually a little bit more to the section that was over onto the next page. So why don't I go ahead and read those last two sentences in this section. Furthermore, depending on the jurisdiction in which ICANN operates, the law applicable to its operations may vary, and thus the human rights applicable to ICANN's operations will vary as well. Nevertheless, ICANN understands that internationally recognized human rights, including those expressed in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, can guide its decisions and actions.
But not interfering in the national legislation. Is that right or not?
As I read this, it does. We are considering this in reference to national legislation, because ICANN is an entity that exists under national legislation. That's indeed, a large part of the case. But when we get to the discussion of applicable law in the next row, it's probably clearer.
Yeah, that's what I would like to do now. I think that will perhaps both help us move forward and get more clarity on the applicable law and national legislation part. So, Tatiana, can I invite you to read out the part as required by applicable law?
Yes, certainly. Thanks a lot, Niels. Tatiana Chopina for the record. Applicable law refers to the body of law that binds ICANN at any given time, in any given circumstances, and in any relevant jurisdiction. It consists of statutes, rules, regulations, etc., as well as judicial opinions where appropriate. It is a dynamic concept in as much as laws, regulations, etc. change over time. Applicable law can have disparate impacts on ICANN around the globe. For example, if ICANN employs personnel in different jurisdictions, then it must observe the applicable labor laws in those various locales. Applicable law is thus a large body of law that eludes our ability to catalog, but it is ascertainable in the context of specific question or issue. This limitation requires an analysis to determine whether any human right that is proposed as a guide or limitation to ICANN activities or policy is required by applicable law. If it is, then abiding by the core value should include avoiding a violation of that human right. If the human right is not required by applicable law, then it does not raise issues under the core value. However, ICANN may still give this human rights consideration, even though it is under no guidance to do so pursuant to the core values. Finished.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. No changes here. This is also what we read last time, largely based on the suggestions made by David McCauley that we only fine-tuned a little bit. I'm going for comments, questions, and suggestions once. Comments and suggestions twice. No comments and suggestions here. That's great. This means only two more parts to go in our second reading, and they are relatively short. So let's take our short track specialist again. Greg, would you be so kind to do the second reading of these last two?
Absolutely. This is a case where the bylaw may be longer than the interpretation. This core value does not create and shall not be interpreted to create any obligation on ICANN outside its mission or beyond obligations found in applicable law. The interpretation is as follows. This sentence restates the basic concept that the human rights core value cannot create or be used to create any obligations that go beyond the limits of ICANN's mission or applicable law. And
thank you very much, Greg. Comments or questions to this part? It's very short, very clear, nothing added, no extra comments. This is going really well. Then the last part, Greg.
I'll take the last part as well. This core value does not obligate ICANN to enforce its human rights obligations or the human rights obligations of other parties against other parties. This part of the bylaw draws the clear line between respect for human rights as a core value and any attempt to extend the bylaw into requiring ICANN to enforce the human rights obligations of other parties against other parties.
Thanks, Greg. I see Cavus has a comment on this. Cavus, please come in.
Some small amendment. I think the term other parties against other parties is not correct. One could say one party against another party or one party against other parties. So there is not other to other. Either one to one or one to other. So I suggest that we amend that. One party against another party or one party against other parties. Thank you
very much, Cavus. Greg, Tatiana, Jorge, would you like to come in? As I remember, I think we stayed pretty close to the text in the bylaw for this, so I think that's the reason why we have this text here. But
yes,
Greg, please.
I'm happy to jump in. I actually agree with Cavus here. I think the repetitive use of other parties seeming to refer both to two different parties within a particular instance, I think is somewhat confusing, even though it is almost directly following the text of the bylaw. But of course, if the text of the bylaw were absolutely clear, and then we wouldn't be doing a framework of interpretation. So I think to enforce the human rights obligations of one party against other parties would be, or of a party against other parties, would be clearer. And I think it's also clear that the party that's being referred to in that particular instance is not ICANN, which actually leads to another problem with this interpretation as I've read it, which is that the core value, or this last sentence, talks about not obligating ICANN to enforce its human rights obligations, as well as talking about not obligating ICANN to enforce the human rights obligations of another party. So I think we need to, we kind of lost that piece of the of this sentence. So we might want to say something like requiring ICANN to enforce the human rights obligations of ICANN or another party against other parties. So maybe that way we're using another party. That at least I think captures both sides, to enforce the human rights obligations of ICANN or any other party against other parties. Or
this is what I
human rights obligations of ICANN or any party against other parties.
I'm live editing in the Google Doc and putting the text in there. So I see Cavus' hand is up, but I first want like to make it really clear to everyone what we have. David McCauley agrees with Greg. Hands are going down. Does this mean we agree on the text? This part of the bylaw draws the clear line between respect for you.
is not a
think tactically what our next step is. There are a there is one other part of the work that we haven't done yet, and that is come up with the other questions that were asked of this subgroup beyond the frame coming up with framework of interpretation. And these were questions about recommendations for policies and procedures for the implementation of the human rights bylaw. So the drafting team has already made some first steps in coming up with drafting that. That is not a very long document. I can put the link here. I would personally prefer that we first finish that part of the work and that we send it integrally to the CCWG plenary for discussion. An alternative would be that we first now send the framework of interpretation and send the recommendations after. A plus for this would be that the plenary would have more time to discuss because we were probably one of the first subgroups to hand something in. And the closer we get to Copenhagen, the more likely it would be that other people are also handing things in. So we might get more attention from the plenary. I would like to get a bit of a sense of a feel from the group what we would like to do. Would we like to forward this framework of interpretation for discussion, or shall we first spend 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks on refining the procedures, recommendations, and then send it all at once? I'd like to invite comments on that. Cheryl, please come in.
Thank you. I was, Cheryl, for the record, I was busy typing. I thought, why am I bothering typing? I'll just put my hand up. I think it would be a very good thing to send this part of our work on for the plenary's consideration and discussion over what will be a couple of weeks of break, not just for the first mover advantage, which I think you've wisely pointed out, but also because I think it would be a very important highlight for the CCWG as a whole, but benchmark for all of the sub-teams as well. So a little competition and encouragement might go a long way. Thanks.
That's great. So Cheryl is opting for sending the FOI already to the CCWG. So maybe we should come up with some green marks and red crosses. So let's please put on a green mark if you think we should forward the framework of interpretation as we have it now to the plenary, and then send the other questions we are supposed to answer later on. So please send a green click and a red click if you think that we should wait until we have a consolidated thing and send it at once. I see a sea of green. Hi, Leon. Please come in.
Thank you very much, Niels. Just to add my congratulations to the subgroup and my acknowledgement that you have achieved a major milestone not only for this subgroup, but for the CCWG at large as a plenary, and that I'm very happy that you have reached this document. And, of course, I will be happy to support it when time comes in our plenary. So thank you very much for this very valuable work that you have all done, and congratulations again.
Thank you very much, Leon. And on that happy note, I will close today's call. I am looking forward to see some of you in Guadalajara, but I'm definitely looking forward to see all of you on the list and on the call next week to also finalize the last steps of our work. Thanks very much for the constructive discussion and from the great volunteering from everyone. Thank you all. Enjoy your day. Bye.
Thanks, Niels. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone.